This morning, I just feel that God is setting us up for what he has. I think the word that God has given me this morning, and for Radiant Life Church. I believe that 2020, our goal, our emphasis over any fun, over any even gift, over any of those things, is this thing right here called the Bible. That we have to get the word of God in our life. And if we want to walk with the helmet, we want to walk with Jesus protecting us and guiding us, we need the word of God in us, because how can we pull out the word of God if we don't actually put the word of God inside? If we don't let God speak to us and God move in us, how are we going to pull that to remembrance? How are we going to stand against what may be the evil in our world and cultural norms? How are we going to know what is of God and what is not of God if we do not, in our own, on our own, when we're together, when we're in small groups, when we're in large groups, whatever it is, get the word of God in us? But something that I can tell you, and it's really kind of interesting, but the Barna Group has done studies that, guess what, once a week on Sunday morning is not enough of the word of God in our life. And if you're here today and you say, oh, I come to church most of the time, I'm super happy. Don't stop. Keep doing it. But that's not enough. We need to be studying the word. In fact, the Barna Group would say that when people read the Bible at least 4 times a week, and they read at least 10 minutes each time, that their life is exponentially changed. That there's something about a threshold of more times than not getting in the word, putting the word of God into us, where all of a sudden we begin to share the truth of the gospel. We begin to talk about Jesus. We struggle with idolatry or pornography or things in our life. The stats go way, way down. Because the word of God is not just something we carry around or we have on our phone or that we talk about on a Sunday morning, but the word of God changes our lives. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And Jesus, thankfully, through so many different people, gave us the Word, the Word that then is active and real in our lives. Which means that when I don't know what to do, I can put the Word of God in me, and all of a sudden, I can begin to understand. When all of a sudden, I know the Word, but I don't want to do what it says. Anybody ever been there? Like, I know what it says. We had one hand raised back there. Thank you for your honesty. There's times when it's like, I know what it says, but I don't want to do it. Guess what you need to do? You need to read it more. Because when you read it and it becomes real, all of a sudden we begin to realize that when God, his truth, when Jesus becomes the helmet of our life, the captain of our life, the one who protects and upholds us, then our life looks completely different. And today I just want to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at the first 4 verses and kind of all over Colossians, a little bit around the word today. But I believe that God has 2020 vision. I was talking to my wife yesterday or the day before. I said, I bet I'm the only person that preaches on 2020 vision in this year. I'm very creative, and you know that you can tell by this. But 2020 vision, all in. We've been talking about it, being all in. All in starts with the word of God. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I believe today that we're going to look at 4 areas that we say, okay, I want to be all in. I want to experience Jesus. I want to have 2020 vision. These are things that we need to do. We need to answer these questions. And the first is, who will we seek? Said, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. That word if at the beginning of that isn't a question. It's not like, well, you know, if you are, you know if you are. If you are and been raised up in Christ, if you have received him, then today you know you are with him. It's not something that's an if or a question. You know, have you received the goodness of God? In fact, how it would be said is, since you have risen with Christ. Since you have risen with Christ, since you have put the word in you, since you are committed to the God of the universe, to serving him, then everything looks different. Seek the things that are above. You could look at it as in a spiritual sense that we have died to the penalty and power of our sin because we are alive to Christ. And I don't know about anybody else, but that is super exciting in my life. I see some of you nodding your heads. You get the understanding that it is a super good thing that we have died to what we are and who we are and our sin and our mess and our problem, and we have been risen with Christ. His grace, his love, his power has overshadowed those things in our life that even to this day maybe rear the ugly head periodically. In fact, just because of how life is, some of you this morning on the way to church or this morning, you got in maybe an argument with a child or a spouse or a person, or maybe you just looked on Facebook and that just caused you to lose the victory. Whatever it was today, there's people that this morning you need Jesus to forgive you and make you new. But if you have been raised with Christ, he's already done it. You're already good. He's covered you and your sin. And I say, praise the Lord that I get to look and seek after Jesus. I get to look after and seek after the things that are above. Romans 6:14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. There's something that happens when we look to the things above, when we look to Jesus. There's something happens that when we put on our helmet, and not like the helmet we got for Jordan for his dirt bike, so we hope that if he wrecks, well, hopefully he just keeps his head off the ground. That would be a good thing. But if he needs it, we hope it's a little softer and he comes away okay. In fact, Chloe, I love that you say that, because when I was a kid, we had a dirt bike. And this little dirt bike, it's just, it goes like 17 miles per hour, so it's fast enough, but it doesn't go super fast. But we had a Kawasaki 250 or something like that. This thing would straight fly. And so I built a ramp, or we built a ramp in our backyard, and you could fly a long, long way in the air. I mean, a long way. And we would dig right next to it, basically just keep adding to the ramp because it was super, super fun. But there's one day I can still remember vividly. I'm riding the dirt bike in the backyard. I never, you were way old school, parents, way old school, but I never wore a helmet. We had one, but I never ever wore it. Like, what in the world? Why? And this one specific day, I put this helmet on. I think that's probably why this story happened, what I'm about to tell you. But I put this helmet on. I rode and I was going and I'm like, I'm going to hit it. Maybe I was going to go just a little faster. I was a little nervous, so I put it on. I'm not sure. I hit the ramp going about as fast as I could come around our backyard and hit it. Except I remember kind of the corner getting, lining it up. And then I just remember everything getting dark. It just kind of, woo. And then I remember being on our front porch or our back porch with my helmet, and I couldn't really see out of the helmet because there was so much dirt that had gotten up inside of the helmet. I had given myself a concussion, or I blacked out at the very least. But that helmet that day caused me, once I got everything working again upstairs, I was just fine because the helmet protected me. And there's times in our life where we better have the right helmet on. We better be walking in the power of Jesus. We better have our eyes lifted to him. Because if not that day, I don't know how my life would have been from that day forward, truthfully, if I did not have the right helmet on. In fact, a helmet on. And God, he wants to move in us. There's no dominion. There's no power of sin. We are under his grace. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And we can set our minds on the things above. There's something mighty that happens. It talks about this seeking. And that is a word that means to continually seek, to continually go after God, to continue to go after the things that God has. It's not a one time. It's not a Sunday morning do it. It's not come back next week. But it's continually in our life to seek the things that are above. To seek Jesus. To seek the one who is all things in our lives, if we will let him be. He is here. We're told continually, just in the book here of Colossians, to seek after a deeper knowledge of Jesus. In verse 10 of chapter 3, a clean and holy life through 5 through 9, godly virtues in 3, 12 through 17, holiness in our domestic life. Verses 18 to 21, an effective prayer life in Colossians 4, 2, a fruitful witness in Colossians 4, 3 through 6. There's something about seeking and continually seeking the presence of God, continually seeking the truth of his word, continually being sure that my helmet is firmly placed on my head. And it's not my helmet of my wisdom, but Jesus is labeled. I'm labeled for him. There's something about seeking Jesus. We are called to become heavenly minded. This is possible only through Jesus. In fact, the word says that he makes intercession for us, so that all we need to so that we can live in this world. He is interceding for you and for me right now. Praise the Lord. How in the world is the creator of the universe, is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, thinking of you, whatever your name is? What? That is so incredibly awesome. In fact, would you just say, Jesus is interceding for me? You need to say that every once in a while. When you're struggling, when you don't think you can do it, to remember that Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and if I just lift my head, I'm going to see the God of the universe interceding and believing that you are going to accomplish, you're going to overcome, that God, he's going to move in your life. Jesus. 2020 vision is seeking Jesus and him alone. Seems like we've heard that this morning already. There's something about seeking Jesus and get rid of everything else around us. He's so good. He loves you. This morning, who will you seek? Are you going to get rid of the other things? And are you going to seek Jesus? The moment when my stuff or my plans or my desires, when they go above Jesus, it's time to get it fixed. It's time to focus once again on what God has, to lift my eyes and to let him speak and move and have dominion in my life. So who will we seek? But as it goes on in verse 2, the second half, what will we release? It says, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, I think it's easy, it's fun. In fact, you get a lot of excitement when we're talking about Jesus and his power in your life. There were some people, I love it when I can hear you, it's super great. Talk about Jesus, talk about grace, talk about, everyone's like, yeah! When we start talking about releasing stuff, and we start talking about submitting to God, and we start talking about getting rid of our desires, and we start talking about doing what's the best in our life, and not just what we want to do in our life, and when we talk about those things, it's a little bit more difficult. So setting your minds on things that are above is super great, exciting, but not on things that are on earth. And then throughout this chapter, it starts talking about some of these things. And I begin to think, when I think of seeking Jesus, but then releasing the things that are not of him, the things of this earth, in our day, in our culture, in our outrage culture world, this is not all that easy. It's hard to read the word of God, to believe it for what it says, and say, Lord, I'm going to stand upon your truth no matter what. Why? Because there's people at your work, where you are, where you go, there's people in your life that would call what the word of God says offensive. There's people all around you that would say what the word of God is asking you to release, there's nothing wrong with that, and people feel condemned. There's something that happens when all of a sudden I realize, Lord, I want to look at you. I want to do that. But it's tough when I have to start actually living it. And I have to start not just saying your grace is good, because praise the Lord, his grace is good. But his grace being good doesn't mean that I continue to do my own thing and live my own way. I submit myself to him. I walk in him. I let his grace cover me. And then I say, Lord, how do I line up with your word so that my life can be blessed? So my health can be blessed, so that all that I do can be blessed by you. What is it that I'm going to release? The things that are on earth. We're a month or so away, but I'm excited. In February, it's going to be an exciting month. We're going to be talking about some different areas in our culture based around sexuality. We're going to talk about, we're not going to get political, but we're going to talk about that outrage culture of politics. We're going to talk about some different sin that maybe in this room there'd be people on both sides of a situation or of a thing. We're going to look into some of these and look at what the Word of God would say. And so I encourage you, we're a month away, but be here. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. And we're going to, I believe, grow together as we simply study what the Word says. But when we study what the Word says, that means if what the Word says goes against what I want or what I think or what my parents taught me or what my school teaches me or whatever it might be in your life, that I have to say, Lord, I'm going to release anything that goes against the truth of your Word. That's what I'm saying. This gets a little more difficult. It's a little more tough when all of a sudden I have to say, but I thought that was okay, or I wanted to live like that, or my parents said, even good Christian people, maybe. We start to look at the Word and all of a sudden I realize I didn't have all the answers I thought I had. In fact, I love preaching. I love spending time in the Word. I love that I get to get paid to study the Bible. Dad, you had it really well. Really, really well, right? What a great thing to do. I could at least spend 10 hours, normally way more than that, a week studying the Bible to prepare for sermons. Like, so cool. And they say you can't do personal Bible study while writing a sermon. Like, what is that about? That's crazy. Because you get a study and it becomes real and active and powerful. But sometimes you start to read the Word. You start to study the Word and you realize that what you thought, maybe a theological position, which theology is very, very important, but I don't want to get bogged down in theology, but all of a sudden you start to read and you say, whew, you might have to go to Roger Wiest and say, what's your view? He's the theological master here at Radiant Life Church, I think. He probably wouldn't like that I said that, but he has lots of really cool things. I love it, right? There's things that all of a sudden I read and I study and I say, that doesn't line up with my worldview or what I thought was my biblical worldview. And you have to begin to change and say, Lord, how does that work? And not one verse, but Lord, how does that verse fit in within a chapter or a book and then the greater Bible? And all of a sudden, when we study, we realize, wow, there's areas I simply have missed the mark on. Not because I wanted to, but because he continues to reveal himself. There's something about it, and I have to be willing to let go and release. Right here in these verses, Colossians 5 through 8 and 9, we see some very interesting things. Talks about sexual immorality. Get rid of it. Any sexual expression that isn't between a man and his wife in a marriage relationship, it needs to be let go of. Release it. I think about some of these things. Also, guess what? A lot of times sin, it always hurts us or someone else. That's what sin is. That's why it's sin. When you begin to think about, if I do something that hurts someone, in a sexual way, to cheapen them or cheapen myself, there's something that we hurt, that we break off in our life. But almost all the time, sin is fun for a while. Almost all the time, sin, it's not that big of a deal. Sometimes you can lie, you can get away with something, you can put yourself ahead in your job until it comes out, and maybe it ruins your life, right? Sometimes we can enjoy people and do it in a way that's not biblically right, but something always comes back. There's always a result of what we do. So sexual immorality, impurity, this gets to the mind beyond just doing something, but thinking something. Passion or wicked passions, lusting after or wanting something that's forbidden, something that you can't have. Evil desire speaks of a mind that longs for those forbidden things. Things we know we shouldn't, but we want it. Covetousness, to have more. I'm not happy with what I have. I need more, I need more, I need more. Whatever that more might be. Placing things ahead of God and his will for your life. Anger in verse 8, wrath, malice, what we feel inside. And I can be honest, sometimes it's a whole lot easier. In fact, men, women in the room, if you struggle with anger, it's a whole lot easier just to get mad, to do your thing, and then act like it never happened or whatever the situation is. It's a whole lot easier, except that we leave a trail behind us that hurts people. And even if we can lie to ourselves and say it's fine, it's not that big a deal, but what about our friends or people we work with, our children, our spouse, or our family? And once again, not only what we think, but what we do, how we hurt people. Slander, lying, filthy communication, what we say with our mouth, what we do. Sometimes what we say can be extremely hurtful to people. In our home, you can get away with some things, but when you start picking on another family member and you use words that are cutting, that are not true, that does not go well. That does not go well at all. Because those words give life, but those words also, like stabbing somebody, there's death in our words when we speak them. There's so many things that this year, that this day, Lord, help me to release it. Help me to get rid of the things in my life. Help me, Lord, I'm doing so much better, maybe in my anger. Well, Lord, I don't want to only do better. Would you take me beyond better? Lord, I want to do better until I die, because every day I grow. Every day I mature in who you are. Lord, help me to release anything that does not line me up with your word. That list right there, that was kind of a lot of stuff. That pretty much covers it all, it seems like, and that's only in four verses. That's only a couple verses in this chapter, in this book, in the Bible. What? God wants us to release things. And what happens when I begin to release things? My mind thinks of pure things. I have good intentions for myself and for others. I'm not lying. I'm not cutting people. I'm not tearing people down, but I'm building people up. I'm speaking life over people. I'm encouraging people. I'm doing all these things, but I cannot do those things if I don't release the stuff that does not line up with the word. If I'm speaking out of one side, death over people, and trying to speak life over them with the other side, it doesn't work. My spirit knows it, but they know it. Lord, I want to seek you, and if I'm going to seek you, I can't be looking up and down. I can't be saying yes to you and back and forth. I have to say yes to you. I can't have the helmet on and take the helmet off and put the helmet back on. It doesn't work like that. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to release the things that are not above. We have to give our lives completely to Jesus. We have to be all in, experiencing him. We've got to kind of put the right our glasses on our eyes so we have 20/20 vision in him. As a kid growing up, I always loved that my vision was super good. And people around, and many of you that have to have contacts or you've got to do glasses, my mom was always putting contacts in or glasses, deal with it. And then you run out of contacts and then you have to wear your glasses and you don't want to wear glasses, whatever your thing is. Or you always wear glasses and you do your thing. I had perfect sight. In fact, I think it was better. It was great. No matter who, I could see farther, I could see clearer. And I'm not going to lie to you. Now, at night, I don't think I see like I saw 10 years ago. Sounds like some of you have been there. And so I believe still I can see farther and better than my wife with her glasses on. So I don't know if that's good for me, I guess. Sorry, Rachel. She has bad eyesight. But I can still see far. But I used to be able to see everything. I could see clearly, far away. Now if we have it's not a staring contest, but a look far away contest, I might still win, but it's not the same. I can tell. And I think in our life, in our spiritual walk, it's really easy to be locked in on the Word of God. It's easy to be locked in for a period of time, but it's so easy over a period of time to just say, well, that's not that big of a deal. I'm fine. I can see. I'm doing what God has. I'm releasing stuff. We can start easily looking at others and say, well, they aren't releasing that. And we can see in theirs, I think Jesus talked about that. We can see little teeny specks in people's eyes, and we may or may not have a splinter or a log sticking out of our eye. It's so easy to all of a sudden not be where we once were because we just didn't pay attention to the details. Maybe it's easy because we say, I know the word. It's not that important that I'm in the word every day. No, it is. I know the word, so I'm going to do what it says, but there's something about the daily routine of having our eyes checked, our spiritual eyes checked, and saying, Lord, today, if there's anything that needs released in my life, I give it to you. I lay it down. I offer it to you. And Lord, I am going to look to the things above. And I'm not going to be dual vision, one foot in, one foot out. I'm not going to be looking up and down and up and down. But Lord, I am going to look at who you are. I'm going to look at you seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to give my anger or my worry or my lust. I'm going to give you whatever it is in my life. Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And Lord, tomorrow, I pray I'm a little better than I was yesterday. And I pray that when I wake up, I'm going to give you a little more. So that every day of my life, because I'm in the Word, I'm letting Him speak to me, I look just a little bit more like Jesus. A little bit more like Jesus. And I don't start to get blurry. I don't start to have cataracts grow over my spiritual eyes and not realize it. My grandma, she had cataracts and they took them off, and all of a sudden, not realizing, I can see the leaves on the trees. In our spiritual walk, are we seeing, yeah, I've got the story, Jesus loves me, His grace is good. Are we in the Word daily so that every day there's a piece of His Word that's deposited in my life? Is that every day something begins to happen because I'm releasing the things of this world and I'm looking to Him. 2020 vision is releasing the sin of the world by filling ourselves with Jesus and His Word. It's by seeking Him and Him alone, being in the Word, spending time in prayer, going all out for Jesus. And as this continues, where will we hide? Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Can I just say, that is pretty awesome. We get to be hidden in the Father. We're reminded again that we have died to sin and to the influence of this world. One of the surest ways for a child of God to enjoy spiritual victory in his or her life is that person to understand that they are crucified with Christ. We have been crucified to those things, and now we are hidden with Jesus. The Father looks at us, even in our sin that we do. He looks at us in our failure. He looks at us in our past. He looks at us in what we've done, and we've been hidden in Jesus, and we are safe in Him. Now, the Father, that's one thing, but guess what? When your past rears its ugly head in your life, guess what you get to say? I am hidden in Jesus. I have given that to the Lord. And we get to walk in Him and experience Him and experience that new life that only He can offer us. We hide in Jesus. We're hidden with Christ in God. That is a double whammy. We are all covered by the goodness and the power of God. When we're saved, we have that new life. You and I get to walk in it. And today, if you say, I am not walking in relationship, I pray that right now, through this word, through the next few minutes, as we wind down this service, I pray that God speaks to you. And I pray you'll open your heart to Him. Because all you have to do today, it is amazing, His grace. All you have to do is offer Him your life. You've got to say, Lord, I want to hide in You. Forgive me of my sin. Make me new. And guess what? Just like that, you are hidden with Christ in God. You are hidden in Him. He's got you. He's protected you. How amazing the goodness of God is in our life. We're given this new life. And when I begin to think of being hidden in God, how can I know that I'm hidden in God? The Word once again comes flashing in my face. I've got to know the Word of God. I have to experience the Word of God. I've got to let His truth become real in my life. Throughout the Bible, over and over and over and over again, There's "it is written" statements. There's things that are talked about that is written in the Word. And we must know the Word of God to be able to talk about the "it is written" statements of the Word, right? We've got to know the Word, or else we can't, as all throughout Scripture happened, look back and say, "it is written, it is written, it is written," that Jesus, he went to the wilderness, he prayed, he fasted, and the devil came to him. And he answered over and over with, "it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus said to him in Matthew 4, verse 7, "on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Over and over again. Matthew 4, 6, the devil said, "if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Even when the enemy comes and uses the Word, tries to twist the Word, guess what? Jesus, he had been in the Word. He was the Word to know that that is not what that word, that verse was about. He could stand against even the twisting of Scripture because the Word of God was real and active and powerful in his life, because he was hidden in God. That is all that we need to be about, is being hidden in the presence and the power of God. 2020 vision is hiding in Jesus so we can be released into our world. And I think something's important. There's people and times when we can get so spiritual that we'd say, "I'm going to be all hidden in Jesus, and I'm only going to go to church services, and I'm going to hide other times. So I'm not going to talk about Jesus because that might not work. It might be rough. I don't want anybody to think anything bad about me." Guess what? We're not hidden in Jesus so we actually hide in our world. We're hidden in Jesus because, just like Jesus, then we're sent forth into our world. We get to get up filled with the power and the presence of God, that even if the devil comes trying to twist Scripture, trying to bring even the Word against us, we're going to know what the Word says. We're going to know the truth, the power of God, and we're going to say, "no way. I'm Jesus. I'm with him. I'm hidden in him. We're with God. We are with the Lord." Today, where is it that we're hiding? Are we in Jesus? Are we hiding in him? But maybe even more, are we being released back into our world? Verse 4 says, "when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." And I am so thankful that someday there's going to be a next level appearance with Jesus when we get to experience him face to face. I literally can't imagine what that will be like, but it's going to be awesome. I can do my best, and all I can say is the best moment of your life, the most just awe-inspiring experience of your life is nothing. It's nothing. It is nothing compared to standing before the presence of Jesus. We're going to appear with him in glory. Paul closes this paragraph by reminding us that this world is not the best there is. And I think that's a pretty good thing, because we enjoy life. I hope you do. But this is not the best there is. There's something way better. We have to deny our flesh down here, but it will be worth it in the end. And I would say it's worth it right now to deny your flesh. If you want to be blessed and you want to have a good life and you want to experience God and you want him to walk with you, get in the Word, walk in him. And the sacrifice of today is a blessing for today and forevermore, as we're going to experience the power and the presence of God. Right now, every single person in this room, there's a battle. There's the flesh in our life. There's demonic forces even. Don't talk about those things very often, but the truth is the truth. There's things in our world. There's evil in our world. There's sin nature in our life, and it is time. It is time to say, "Lord, I release these things to you. I give them up to you. And Lord, I'm looking forward to the day when heaven, I'm there looking and standing and worshiping the God of the universe, being able to see him." But it's pretty exciting because I get to do that today. I may not get to see the 2020 vision of him in this exact moment, but the God of the universe is here. And when we worship him, we get to experience him. We get to offer our lives to him. And when I say here, I mean wherever you go, whatever you're doing, when you're in your car, when you're on your way to work, when you're at work and you have no clue how to solve a problem or a situation, guess what? That's a great moment to realize I'm in the glory of God. I'm in the presence of God, and He wants to speak. He wants to move. He wants to walk in me. He's appearing now, and He's going to appear in a new way, and we're going to be able to live and serve and worship Him. The battle will be over. The victory will be final in our life. It's already final. We just have to step into it. But we're not going to struggle anymore. But am I focused on Jesus? Focused on His love? Focused on His power above anything else? 2020 vision is appearing in Jesus and His glory. 2020 vision is walking in Him. It's hiding in Him. It's being released to our world. 2020 vision is releasing the sin of the world by filling ourselves with Jesus and His word. And 2020 vision is seeking Jesus and Him alone. Now today, there's people in the room that you're like, I love it. I love it. I'm all in. But how do I do it? How do I make this happen? It's easy to say what I want to do. It's more difficult to actually do it. And there's four things I think that today just are on my heart. A few weeks ago, we talked about our heart for the house and being all in for 2020. We talked about our culture carrier disciples. We talked about people that will pray, that will talk about Jesus, that will get in small groups. I want to make it as easy as possible. Here in the next few weeks, we're going to be signing up and we're going to be jumping into life groups. We've got, I think, 10 groups that are going to be starting. It's just an exciting moment. But we first, before saying I'm going to be a part of a group, it's a personal thing in our lives to get the word of God and to apply it to us. So the first thing, how will we do it, is we will read the word together. If I want 2020 vision, I've got to get the word of God in me. Now you might say, awesome, how do we do that? There's this awesome Bible app called YouVersion. What we're going to do, and I'm encouraging every person that would, to look for Radiant Life Church on your YouVersion Bible app. If you don't have it, I would ask you to download the YouVersion Bible app. In any app store, you can also, I believe, do it on your internet browser if that's how you'd want to do it. And on there, look for Radiant Life Church. When you friend request Radiant Life Church, we will accept that, and we will send you a reading plan that we are going to do as a church family. So we can have up to 150 of us. That would be an amazing number to hit. We could start Radiant Life Church 2 if we needed to do it. But I would love to see you jump on, become a part, and then every day we are going to read the word together. That means you're going to get on the app. You can read it from your phone, or you can read it from your Bible, your paper Bible, or you can listen to it. There's no excuse if you have a job to say, I don't have time. Why? Because most of you have 15, 20, 30, some of you even more time than that. And you can get the YouVersion Bible app when you're on your way to work. You can play that, take your break time, write down a thought, and you can study, get in the Word together with us. That means you're going to get reminders. You're going to get different things. Pastor Rachel, she puts a note on there. You're going to be able to see that note and be encouraged by what Pastor Rachel experienced in the Word that day. The goal would be, what would happen if we have 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 different words that you can look through and you can scroll through and you can be encouraged by what someone else, that you may not even know them, they sit on the opposite side of the room, but they're reading the Word, they're getting it in their life, they're putting it in their heart. I know many people, when we think of a Bible plan, you hate Bible plans because you've done them before. And you're not like Pastor Dave, and you haven't read the Bible through 40-something times in a row. 47 years in a row. Maybe that's not your strong suit. Then this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Jump on there, and if you can do it 4 days a week, and you can read the New Testament portion of it, awesome, do it. Comment on that New Testament portion. If you can read the whole thing, do it. Comment on the whatever part in there sticks out to you. Maybe you jump in and you do really good for 2 weeks. Anybody done stuff like that before around New Year's? Maybe you do really well for 2 weeks, and 3 months later, you look back at it and you say, oh man, I need to be reading the Word. You know what I'm going to encourage you to do? Don't catch up. just get to the day that we're on, which is the one that'll pop up on your YouVersion Bible app, and read that day. Comment on that day. All throughout this year, we can study the Word. We can grow together. Now, if you're like Pastor Dave, if you miss a day or two, then go back, fill them in. You can get all the check boxes done. You'll read through the whole Bible. Whatever works for you, whatever time you can do, get in the Word. Spend 10 minutes a day in the Word of God. So once again, the YouVersion Bible app, invite Radiant Life Church to become a friend. I love it. I'm getting them. They're popping up right now. So after service, I'll invite you to our reading plan. And we will then invite you to join our reading. So jump on there, Radiant Life Church, become a friend. We'll invite you. Let's read the Word of God together. I think we already have 10 or so people that just from Thursday or so to now have signed up just because I've asked them to be friends. And if I didn't have your number or all those things, please sign up. Second, we're going to study the Word of God together. Life groups are beginning. We're putting together our last touches. I think we're going to push the beginning to the fourth weekend of this month. I want to be sure we start well and have our groups trained and we're ready to roll. So on the 12th specifically, we're going to be signing up, talking about life groups. We're going to be giving you opportunities on the 19th to jump in. How life groups are going to work is you can sign up for a specific group because your friend is the teacher or the leader of that, the host of that. Or you just sign up. In fact, a bunch of you signed up for Heart for the House in those cards that you want to be a part of a life group. We're going to reach out to you. We're going to call you. You'll have another opportunity here. You can sign up as well. But you can jump in. In fact, today you can go to radiant.family, life groups, sign up to be a part of life groups. We are going to do this together. I believe if daily, as many a days as we can, we're studying the Word, we're putting it in our heart, we're commenting, we're hearing, and then we spend time in small groups twice a month, January through May, we're getting in the Word. We are doing outreach. We're going and serving people around us in our life groups. We're doing what we're going to call inreach. We're bringing friends that don't know the Lord just to come and hang out, to do what barbecue first, to go do something fun as a group. We believe God is going to use you to speak truth and hope and life. We believe God is going to use you to win your friends, those around you for Jesus, just because we do life with the people of our world. That's what it's all about, doing life together. The third thing is we're going to pray together. At life groups, we're going to pray together. Tuesday morning prayer time, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Come hang out the last half hour. We get in a circle right over here, and we pray about the different situations, whatever's going on in our lives, in our world, in our church. Wednesday evenings for midweek, I encourage you, jump into what God is doing. Be here on Wednesday nights. I've been praying and I've been thinking about it. We have many people that drop off their kids, and we're happy to be able to do that. Maybe it's your shopping night or your go sit in the car for an hour night. And I believe that God might speak to some people, and that Wednesday night midweek could be a game changer for some folks, that instead of doing whatever else it is, you come, you get in the Word, you spend some time in worship, and we spend time praying and seeking God. Once a month in 2020, we're going to be praying for our missionaries, name by name. We're going to be going through. We did that a few weeks ago, and it was a great time as different people prayed for different missionaries that jumped out at them. There's prayer opportunities. On your YouVersion Bible app, I encourage you to write a prayer at the end of your whatever God spoke to you. Something that we call soaping, the scripture, an observation, an application, and a prayer. That people can see your prayer. When we're in it together, we're getting the Word in us. We're getting the truth in us. We're spending time praying and meeting and sharing Jesus with those around us. And that's the fourth, is we will focus on growing His kingdom here on earth. Would you ask the Lord to help you fill the seat that's next to you? Would you ask the Lord in 2020, Lord, I pray that I could fill a seat or two because I'm sharing Him, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm in tune with You, I'm in the Word, and all of a sudden, just begins to well up within me. Would you pray? What happens if we begin to multiply? We begin to multiply. We begin to grow. Invite your friends. Pray for your friends. Use life groups. Use services to be a tool to share Jesus. But it starts wherever you are, in whatever situation you're in, talking about what God is doing in your life. You don't have to preach at people to say, the Lord blessed me. The Lord did something. The Lord moved in me. God showed me something in his word. And when people, they may not even understand that yet, but when we're just talking about what God's doing in our life, not trying to get anybody to do anything, but we just want them to know about the goodness of God, there begins to be something in their spirit that begins to rise up. And when I think of 2020 vision, we have to lock in on the things of Jesus like never before. Whatever spiritual level you are, however many times you've read the Bible, or however many life groups or small groups or Bible studies you've been to, or Sunday mornings, maybe this is your first one. It's time in the position we're in to lock in on Jesus and let him move us. Let him speak to us. And if you're not alone, probably half the room, if we're honest on stats, don't spend time in your own Word of God, whatever form. This year, if I could ask you to do one thing, would you start to get in his Word? Would you start to listen to? Would you start to read? Would you start to study the truths of the Word? Because if you're doing that at home, Sunday mornings and what I can preach here are a whole lot better. Because truths begin to connect from all over the Word of God. What you just read out of Genesis or out of Revelation begins to jump in with what happens in Colossians or what happens in the Gospels. Would you get in the Word of God? Would you put yourself in a place where you are studying the Word together in some sort of a group? Would you pray? Do it with people. Would you focus on growing his kingdom here on earth? Last thing I'll say is, when I say kingdom, I believe Radiant Life Church needs to and should grow, because it's the truth of God. It means people are getting to heaven if I'm bringing people and winning them to Jesus. But I'm not talking about Radiant Life's kingdom. I'm talking about the kingdom of God. That's what we're doing this all for. Serving, growing, walking in him, getting in the Word. It's for his kingdom. It's for what he wants to do, how he wants to be revealed in your life. He will move in you, but it takes locking in on him. It takes growing in him. It takes reading the Word. It takes coming together, the church family, to experience him. Then we can have 2020 vision. Then we can experience him. Then we can release things that need to be released and be all in, because we're hidden in Jesus, with Jesus in God, to be released into our world. So Lord, this morning, I pray that our hearts, I pray they've been turned towards you as I prepared this, as we listen. Lord, this year, would you call us? You've already done it, but Lord, would you help us to commit to being in your Word, commit to spending time in prayer at home in our prayer closets, but with people, spending time in small groups, spending time sharing you with our world. God, I pray that each of us in this room, Lord, we'd look back a year from now and be amazed at what you've done. Be amazed at the people that have come to know you. Be amazed at just our spiritual walk and our maturity in you, Lord, as we're in your Word. Lord, let every part of your truth, Lord, let it be real and active in our lives, because we are active in the Word. And Lord, I pray today for one or two, maybe more, that they come here today and they're not serving you. I pray that right now, Lord, you would bring them into your family, even as they just ask you for forgiveness, even under their breath, even quietly, as they ask you for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that you receive them and you bring them into the fold. You bring them into the family. And Lord, all the past things of life are gone when we simply come and ask you to forgive us, ask you to hide us, ask you to take away the sin that you already died for on the cross. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. Let us be all in. Let us look with 2020 vision on the world around us, because we're seeing it through the eyes of your Word. A biblical worldview would come forth from us because we're in your Word. We love you, we thank you. Lord, I pray a blessing over each person here today. Lord, I pray that this year, Lord, things that they thought they could never overcome, they thought they could never step into, maybe even in jobs or in health or in even in the Word, Lord, whatever area it is, Lord, I pray this year would be a year of victory. Lord, this year would be a year of growth. This year would be a year of health in every part of lives, God. Lord, I pray and speak that blessing over each one today. We're so thankful for your goodness, for your love, what you did on the cross for us, Jesus. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to invite you all once again to our New Year's Eve party. It's going to be a good time, that last half hour before the New Year's. I'm just looking forward to hanging out, to praying, and to ushering in the new year, praying together. And then we will be sure we catch that ball drop for those that is your thing. It will be on the screen. It'll be big. It'll be great. But I'd love to have you come back. And thank you so much. Have a blessed, blessed week. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus.